It's going down, and you're invited for what they selling. We ain't buying. There is no running, there is no hiding. There's only fighting or dying. It's going down, and you're invited for what they selling. We ain't buying. There is no running, there is no hiding. There's only fighting or dying.
It's Going Down is a digital community center from anarchist, anti-fascist, autonomous, anti-capitalist, and anti-colonial movements. Our mission is to provide an autonomous and resilient platform to publicize and promote revolutionary theory and action.
Go to itsgoingdown.org for daily updates. Check out our online store for ways to donate and rate and follow us on iTunes if you like this podcast.
You're listening to It's Going Down. Today we're lucky enough to be joined by gig workers from Instacart and Shipt, a warehouse worker from Amazon, and an employee at Whole Foods. Together we discuss how the coronavirus crisis has impacted their lives and their work, why they are calling for a strike on May Day, and how people can stand in solidarity with them. And now, let's get into it.
My name is Robin. I'm an Instacart shopper in Ithaca, New York.
This is Willie with Shipt.
My name is Jordan. I work for Amazon JFK. I'm with Make the Road New York.
I am a Whole Foods employee, representing Whole Worker, planning on participating in the May 1st strike.
Awesome. And today we're going to be talking about May 1st, what people can expect, the strikes that are being organized right now. We're also going to be going back and talking about the recent wave of activity that's been happening. But just to start us off, tell us about how your lives and also your workplaces have been impacted by the COVID pandemic. What's changed at work, and how is this pandemic really impacting you all in your workplace?
All right. So, inside my warehouse, every day we're getting at least 3 to 5, maybe even 7 additional cases growing. They actually lost numbers of how many people tested positive up to this date. There's a lot of people afraid to go in. I have a medical condition where I really cannot be around this. So it's gonna, with the way Amazon's working right now, with the UPT policy, the unpaid time policy, they retaliated and it's going to end April 30th. So I have no choice but to go back to work that Friday.
Yeah, I could add that Whole Foods, since it's owned by Amazon, it's got a lot of the same policies, but it's also got this added complication of a lot of people still see it for its old reputation of being kind of a worker-friendly and kind of hippie place, and people sort of still buy into that to some extent. So it's been harder to rally people and get people on board with pushing back against company policy.
So how it's affected my work life. So the platform is incredibly busy right now. Unfortunately, they're not paying us more. They seem to be making a ton of money off of the pandemic. I'm scared to go to work for the first time in a long time. I say that having been in the Army. So I'm concerned about the customers in the store, and I'm concerned for the store employees and the families who are treating the supermarket like a field trip and the only place that they feel justified in going. The orders are bigger. The distances are further. The customers are less patient and forgiving as the pandemic wears on. It's been hard to get the PPE that I need, and that creates a lot of anxiety for myself and for my family, and has led to me working less.
What's the PPE?
Sorry. Instacart shoppers have requested that we be provided with sanitizer and masks, and Instacart has responded by sending some of us this. They say that they have tens of thousands of kits to send out every week, which is great, except for they have hundreds of thousands of shoppers, and they're hiring hundreds of thousands more. So some of us have received a kit in the mail that has 2 bottles of hand sanitizer, many of which have spilled in transit, and a mask that Instacart provided us that is see-through if you hold it up to the light. It's a single layer, probably t-shirt material, and doesn't really do anything except for require the stores to allow us to enter, because that's required here in New York State. So most of us haven't received it, and those of us who have find it to be lacking.
Yes, I'd like to add to that. So for me personally, it's actually affected me quite a bit. I've had pneumonia 6 times in my life, and so I'm very, very afraid to catch the coronavirus, because I know that if I succumb to the coronavirus, I will actually probably not make it. And so it is a genuine fear that I have that's definitely altered the way that I shop, the way that I work, and the way that I function in society today. So one of the concerns that I have more than anything else is not only catching it for myself, but having had pneumonia, you know, spreading that virus around to customers, our families, and just in general to society as a whole that cannot protect itself. By going to the grocery stores where it's one of the hotbeds of being able to catch this virus, at the end of the day, it weighs pretty heavy on me personally. Having gone through the experience of the health issues that I've had, and you know, that definitely leads to a genuine concern. The companies themselves, like Shipt, have done very little to help us in that regard. The COVID-19 policy that's currently in place basically is formulated in a way that is going to create a bunch of loopholes for shoppers to not be able to receive the assistance that they need. For example, myself, I do not, even as a high-risk category, I do not qualify for that policy in any way, shape, or form. A doctor's note is not sufficient to quarantine myself, even if I was suspected of having symptoms of COVID-19. We have to have a letter from the CDC or the FDA basically mandating that we stay home in order for that coverage to be extended to us. That particular letter is extremely difficult to obtain. Testing is very difficult to obtain. So making us go through anything else outside of a doctor's note that is, you know, legally authorized to practice medicine is basically making us jump through hoops. I believe that's unconscionable. So from that perspective, I believe that these companies could be doing a lot more to help us curb the situation that we currently find ourselves in.
So I wanted to go back really quick to the situation at Amazon and the worker there. If you could talk about basically kind of explain to us the timeline and what it was like. Because, I mean, it seemed like Amazon was not really being forthcoming about, you know, when these cases were becoming public, that people were becoming infected. In fact, it seemed like workers really, that's where a lot of the action started to start, is that people were walking out because people in the warehouses were getting sick and testing positive. Can you tell us about that and basically the reaction from the company when people started to test positive on the job?
So, it's been about a month now since this whole situation. So our first protest, almost a whole month now. We actually had a dude, he tested positive March 24th or 23rd, I forgot which date, but he's been running around there 2 weeks saying that he wasn't feeling good. And, you know, we didn't really have that much testing going on. It wasn't really out there. And plus we actually had another manager that came from Seattle where it actually hit first. So we actually sent her, she was home quarantined already. And this dude was just, you know, rapidly running around touching everything. So he finally got tested. He tested positive. And he actually brought it around one of my friends I know personally. She's been with me for 2 years. She's been home also quarantined. I don't know if she's all quarantined or still quarantined. I don't know how she's doing. I got to call her, but he actually infected 5 other people. So that's how it started. And then those 5, it just kept, you know, like a domino effect. It just kept going on and it kept rolling out and rolling out. It actually got to the point where in our warehouse, they started sending us text messages saying they have additional cases. Now, that in our warehouse, we have 5,000 workers. By you saying that you have additional cases and you don't know the count, you just put 5,000 lives at risk. Even new hires that are coming in, seasonal temps, part-time, you just scared them to come in. The fact that y'all lost count. And if you don't understand that there's HIPAA laws, let me stop what I was about to say before. Understanding that HIPAA laws that you can't give out names, that's understandable. But if you can at least tell us what department he was in, where we have to be safe, and not, you know, not tell us that whatever he was in, saying that, you know, he could have been in PAC, he could have been in STOVE or PIC or DOCS. If you can at least tell us that, we know where we have to directly hit and start cleaning and being aware who was around that area around that time and that who has to be home quarantined right now. But no, what they decided to do was sweep it under the rug and just continue operations. We had regional executives tell us that they were going to close it down, but that was going to be weeks after this whole thing is over. But you shouldn't wait at a time where the pandemic is growing and it was not even at its peak yet.
To the person at Whole Foods, can you talk about, you know, the dangers and just basically what's changed, you know, day to day for workers at Whole Foods? Because you all are interacting with people from the public in a very real way.
We are. So company-wide, it's been incredibly inconsistent from store to store as far as social distancing, as far as limiting the number of people coming inside the store. It kind of varies even within my own store. They'll have a certain limit of people that they're letting in, and in the middle of the day during like a lunch rush or something, they'll decide to up it by 10 people kind of arbitrarily. Another thing that they do is, every employee needs to get their temperature checked when you arrive at work before you clock in. And if you're over 100.4 degrees, you get sent home and you can't come back until you're symptom free for 3 days. But, the thermometers that we have, which are infrared thermometers, are reading everybody at dangerously low temperatures. We're all temping at hypothermia levels every single day. And, you know, as long as you're under 100.4, that's just fine. Go ahead and start working. And another thing that people have concerns with about these temperature checks are, yeah, you're temping the workers, but you're not temping the customers. So, like, what's the point? It seems really obvious to everybody that, you know, this was a decision made by lawyers to cover the company and not really a decision made to protect workers or the public at all. Those are a couple of the main concerns that we've been hearing a lot from people.
For the gig workers, you know, you all are dealing with all this stuff plus more because you have to go into the store and plus you have to interact with the public. I'm just curious if you can kind of speak to kind of like all the hidden dangers and all the stuff you have to deal with that a lot of people may not think about just by picking up their phone and using the app. And then somebody like you has to go out to a store, like basically all the stuff that's wrapped up into that for you to do your job.
So from the ship side, what I can tell you is that we are not being provided the PPE that these companies are claiming that they're providing to us. And the matter or the truth on the ground is totally different than the PR spin that the companies are giving customers and the media. At the end of the day, they're sorely lacking in getting and distributing the proper PPE. One of the things that's very bothersome to us is the fact that they claim we can pick up PPE, at local Targets. The reality is we service multiple retailers, and even the local Targets are telling us that PPE is not available to us because we are independent contractors. And so from that perspective, I believe that one of the biggest things that's not being told to the public is that we are independent contractors and we don't have the protections that a lot of employees have. And from that angle, the stores themselves are not doing anything to help us curb the risk and minimizing those risks for not only customers, but also employees. And again, our families, it's all throughout society that we function in our roles. And as such, we're definitely carriers of the virus. Should we be asymptomatic or not? Taking that into, most of the residents that we go to and the manner that they want us to deliver in, providing excellent customer service to that extent, it's actually putting people's lives at risks. Going into elderly homes is one of the other things that's a really concern for us because of the fact that those are really, really high-risk individuals. And again, I get back to that same word. It's unconscionable, the fact that they are really not getting this under control when there's a lot of partnerships from a corporate level that can be formed in order to help us curb these issues?
So from the time I leave the house in the morning, I'm constantly having to worry about cleanliness. And sure, we've all thought about cleanliness, hopefully every day. But I'm having to take a lot of extra steps to make myself and my customers feel safer about getting the things that they need. A week ago, it wasn't nearly as good. It feels better now. A week ago, store employees weren't wearing masks, and there was very little being done to enforce any kind of social distancing within the stores, to the extent that my daughter had been a cashier, and I required her to take a leave of absence because I didn't feel the stores were doing enough. That said, the company certainly needs to do better as well. So going into the stores, I'm worried about touching carts. I'm worried about the produce that I have to pick up, and sometimes it's not the right apple and I have to put it back down. And then other customers are worried about how many other people have touched their food. You know, it's not just me or the cashier or the produce guy. You know, there's been a lot of people involved with the handling of each and every item that I'm dealing with in the stores. And I try to minimize that by checking out myself and by using the hand sanitizer that I've purchased for myself, along with the sanitizer that some of the stores are providing. Most of the stores that I shop in do have bathroom facilities where I can wash my hands before and after an order. Some customers want me to wear gloves. Some customers don't want me to wear gloves. There's not really a lot of consistency. And now the company has started grouping orders together more and more frequently, and these tend to be larger orders. So it's a lot more time spent in the grocery store and having to reach out to customers when they don't have Lysol or cleaning wipes or toilet paper, and needing to send pictures of what they do have and wait for them to respond. Responsive customers are really appreciated. It shows that there's some concern for our well-being, and they're helping us to get in and out as quickly as possible. And if customers can be as responsive as possible while we're shopping, that's incredibly helpful. Coming home, I'm a single parent. I've got two girls, and there really aren't other people to step in should I get sick, and I would be devastated if I happen to pass this on to one of them. It's just really dangerous out there, and most customers seem aware of this. Tips have gone up in response. Pay has not, unfortunately. And like Willie, I agree that the sick pay policy is lacking, and I don't feel that I would be able to access it if I needed to. And I live in New York, where in my county, testing is a little bit more accessible than it is in a lot of other places in the country right now. But the sick pay policy needs to be expanded, and they need to bring the bar down a little bit from where it is, because right now it's really inaccessible for most people, and it leads to people shopping who probably shouldn't be and wouldn't be if they had another option.
It's Going Down runs off listener and reader support, but as the crisis deepens, we know that it will become impossible for some people to support us. That's why we're asking people who have the means, please support It's Going Down. Go to itsgoingdown.org/shop and sign up to become a monthly supporter or give us a one-time donation. Help us continue to provide a platform for social movements and struggles during a time of crisis. Let's now turn. This is a question for everybody. At this point, there's been actions on job sites across the country in different sectors, from construction workers to people in the gig economy to people at Amazon. Tell us about what's been happening at your workplace in terms of action, whether it's, you know, strikes or organizing activity. And so far, has this made an impact on the company? We're going to talk about Mayday in a bit here, but just tell us kind of like what's happened so far at your workplace in terms of organizing or strike activity, and what impact this has had so far at this point.
So I don't mind speaking a bit about Instacart. There have been several protests and strikes that have been put forth over the past several years. This most recent one at the end of March, and then there was one last November. it's hard to know how many people are participating because it's not like we have a database and the company certainly isn't sharing that information. Usually they ignore the protesters and organizers entirely. And then a few months later, we'll do something to further jeopardize our pay. It does, this time there was a bit more of a reaction from Instacart. It felt in many ways just like PR, like we're going to send you hand sanitizer. And now a month later, many of us still don't have even the single bottle of hand sanitizer that they were promising to send a month ago. So it really feels like a lot of PR, though we did get a response. I'd say it's successful because Instacart's getting a lot of negative attention right now. People are talking about the company and looking for more ethical choices. So in those ways, I would think that that it has been successful in advancing the cause and trying to establish laws and regulations that will protect the rights of gig workers.
Right. So Amazon and Whole Foods are both extremely anti-union. They've done a pretty good job with the propaganda and indoctrinating a good amount of the workers. So we actually have not seen a whole lot of action across the whole company of Whole Foods. I know in Boston, a few weeks ago, there was a demonstration outside of the store that included Whole Foods workers. I know there are a couple other cities planning some stuff, but generally, we've got a workforce that half of them are rewarded just enough to not want to rock the boat, and half of them are in that very high turnover category and aren't that invested in improving the conditions at the company. So it's that kind of middle ground left of people who really want to work and fight to make it a better place to work. And, you know, a lot of us are scared of retaliation. And, you know, I think it's an important thing to touch on that, you know, we know there's laws on the books and there's certain rights that we have when it comes to unionizing and workplace organizing, but I haven't heard a lot of people talking about the fact that these companies all retaliate without officially retaliating. So, you know, going out there and organizing, like, it's a big risk. Like, yes, we do have certain rights, but in reality, like, you know, the company's going to be watching you like a hawk after that. And any little slip up, they're going to use any excuse that they can to get rid of you or to punish you in some kind of way. And they've got entire legal teams to make sure that they do it in a way that can't be considered retaliation. But we all know it's retaliation.
You reminded me of an important distinction, and that's that as an Instacart shopper, we're not employees, so we don't have the ability to unionize, and it makes it harder to organize and set demands and get a workforce to fall behind and not work, particularly a workforce that's made up of a lot of vulnerable people who are really dependent on the money that comes home every day or every week from these gigs. As independent contractors, we can't form a union and organize to that capacity. And there's also the fear that people may be deactivated for speaking out. Most of the organizing that happens takes place through a Facebook group of about 15,000 Instacart shoppers. And we ask each of those shoppers to share with five other shoppers who aren't in the group as a way to spread the word further. But we're definitely disadvantaged by not being able to unionize. And I would argue that we're misclassified employees. We don't fit the bill for being independent contractors. And I'd go further and say that, Willie, you don't either. And that that designation is simply to avoid them paying into the system and providing us with the benefits that we would otherwise be afforded.
I would like to add to that as well. As Robin kind of mentioned, because of the fact that we are not employees and the unionized capacity is not there. However, with Shipt, Shipt carries a different type of being in regards to how it handles its worker than Instacart does. And that sets us apart just a little bit in the sense of the fact that Shipt likes to make everything sunshine and rainbows, and at the end of the day created a cult-like mentality where anything negative said against the company was immediately reported or is immediately reported to SHIPT by various means, and they immediately respond. So that made our organizing a lot more difficult than it has been on other platforms from what I can tell and relate to. And from that perspective, we have come an extremely long way underground to have developed a organizational type capacity to be able to actually speak out. And that's one of the biggest things that I would say is our success, is the fact that we've gained our voice back. We're able to actually speak out against the company. And even though there's a lot of people that fear deactivation, out of everybody that's in our organization of organizing, we have had zero reports of people being deactivated for speaking out, including myself. I've been the most boisterous person, and I'm still active on the roster and can still shop. So the company's response has been such that they really have not given us what we've demanded. They do go out and PR spin and do say certain things to the effect of that we've received a 30% increase, which is a complete fabrication. When they did that, our most adamant contradictory type people in our organization, or even outside of that, even shoppers that don't agree with us at all, became outraged, because the truth is that we did not receive a pay increase of 30%. We actually are receiving a decrease, and every shopper across the board, even the ones that don't agree, are seeing that. So that is helping us organize even further. And the company is in hyper mode, trying to get a handle on that. They're trying to discredit us in every single way, shape, or form. I just learned today that SHIPT has actually named me publicly to a publication to try and discredit me personally. From that perspective, the companies are becoming a little bit more, SHIPT is becoming a little bit more aggressive in the way that they're approaching this, rather than actually handle the demands the way that they're being presented. And basically utilizing that as a way to get more workers to work, because shoppers, for the most part, on SHIPT's platform do want to work. They do want to fill in the orders rather than take the proactive approach to addressing the demands. They went out and hired approximately 200,000 people, or on the road to getting that many people on board, when our current system can't even handle the current shopper base. So misappropriation of their efforts is definitely apparent, and they would gain a lot by actually just meeting our demands and moving forward on the platform as far as being on the same synergy as their shoppers.
So that's really easy. So honestly, it goes back to our first protest. The way it really happened was we demanded our general manager and the other managers around the warehouse. They all had a conference. They didn't want to shut it down. Like, they wanted to have the production keep going. So me, Chris Smalls, and our other coworkers, Derek Palmer, Gerald Bryson, we all teamed up. We got workers that felt the same way. And we protested, and as y'all seen, that same day, March 31st, they fired Chris Smalls. And that right there was what really helped us get on the media and other warehouses to get in contact with us. They seen that was unfair, like, I don't even know how to put it, but it was just such a bad firing that, you know, Amazon just put us on the spotlight to help us out. And that's what opened doors for every other warehouse to start coming out. As you seen, we had New Jersey walked out, they didn't protest. We had Bromley, Michigan, Detroit, and Chicago. And then as they started, more warehouses started coming along. And then from that point on, me, Chris Smalls, Derek Palmer, and also Gerald Bryson, we just, as they're protesting, we were trying to get their contact information to, you know, start teaming up. And then, you know, as time was going on, we started realizing that we have a majority of warehouses in the United States that really want to support us and want to be with us in this time and point up to May 1st, May Day.
Great. Well, one last question before we talk about May Day. Can you tell us how these different corporations are going about singling people out? I mean, I know in Amazon's case, you know, they had this thing where they were saying that they weren't properly socially distancing. I'm really interested in, for instance, the gig workers. I mean, you all are kind of in a different spot. Like, how are they finding people that are speaking out and organizing and then going about trying to single them out, get them fired, or, you know, put them in the hot seat? So if you all can just talk about basically the process or the ways in which the company is going after different workers who are organizing and what that looks like.
Yes, I can start with that one too. So the way they're singling us out, you know, my face is in the media, the newspapers, the TV, everywhere. Derek and Chris Moles is too. So we actually, the way we come into work, we have to go through a security gate and then a temperature check. That's where they mainly catch us, right there. They know our login. A majority of people know me in my warehouse. Chris Moles and Derek, they know all of us. They know our login, so they can contact us. They can easily find us through the computer system inside the warehouse. There's Wednesday, and then, like I said, me, Chris, and Derek's shift, we were all Wednesday to Saturday morning shift. Went 7:15 to 5:45. So that's the main time they know our schedule. And then they know what we do. We're all in PCF. Well, Chris Mose was, but we were all in PCF, pick count floor out, where we pick out the customer's orders and we ship it down the pack. They have like technology where they labor track you. That's what I meant to say. There you go. That's the words I was looking for. They labor track you. And once they labor track you, human resources, the general managers, your managers can find out where you're working and what station you're working at.
So Instacart has just rolled out a new health and safety assessment. It hasn't come to my area yet, but I've received communication about it, where they're going to ask us to, you know, answer some questions about our well-being. And if we fail anything, we're temporarily deactivated and we'll have to follow some steps before we'd be able to get back on the platform. And of course, that's just going to encourage people to not be honest. I think Instacart continuously rewrites the contract, and that makes it harder for us just because we never know what's in there. And it seems to be intentionally confusing and it contradicts itself. But there are a number of things that shoppers do that could get them deactivated. And presently, Instacart's willing to overlook a lot of those things, even things as basic as background checks. And I think there is going to come a time where they have to crack back down on that, and those people will probably be the first to go.
On Shipt side, one of the things that Shipt has been very good at doing is basically cultivating a fear of deactivation should you speak against the company. They try to funnel everybody into a Facebook group called the Main Lounge, which basically is a way for the company to not only put out company-sponsored propaganda, but also control the way that people speak about the company. Anything negative at all prior to March was basically censored. After our protest and coming out speaking as loudly as we have, that seems to be going away a little bit. And so when I mentioned earlier that we want our voices back, that's what I was referring to. There's a lot of people that are speaking out. But as far as singling out individual people that are specifically speaking out in the larger scope of things, like myself, Shipt has actually, in talking to journalists, disclosed personal information about myself and my account to try and discredit me. That revelation just came to me today, and it's pretty upsetting to hear that a company is going to that stoop to that level to try to discredit the larger majority. The one kickback for them on that particular piece is the fact that it actually refers to 8 other shoppers and not myself. And so from that perspective, our strikes and our movement has created enough energy to dispel any discreditation that the company tries to aim at one particular person. However, the threat of deactivation is still very strong, and there's a tremendous amount of people that want to speak out but do not. And people like myself are allowing our voices to be the loudspeaker for those people.
So, I mean, one thing they did is when we staged a company-wide sick out back on March 31st, they had a publicist come out and say that, you know, Whole Worker is not actually even Whole Foods employees. And if there are some in there, it's just a few scattered, disgruntled people, and the majority of our employees don't feel that way. So they just kind of publicly pretend like workers' grievances don't exist, even though they are totally widespread. They also, I know that they have these trainings that go from region to region, store to store, and do union busting trainings with store leadership. So they kind of decentralize the way that they target people, and they kind of have gotten really good at hiding it. Like, you don't actually see it happening, but it is happening. Like, there's a lot of strict policies that get overlooked 99% of the time, and they're there just in case there's somebody you want to get rid of. Like, you've got an easy excuse, like, oh, that, like, that one obscure part of the attendance policy that we never enforce, like, we're going to fire this person because of that. But really, it might be a person who is suspected of organizing or something like that. But they've mostly just, I think their strategy is more preemptively trying to nip everything right in the butt before it even gets started, so there are not people to even target. I think that's why a lot of us at Whole Worker are not public about who we are, because the company has been really good at retaliating without officially retaliating. But I think they know that it's coming. I mean, you've seen they have that heat map that there was an article about recently, where Whole Foods is tracking which stores are more in danger of potentially unionizing. So they're very aware that this is coming, and that there is widespread distrust of the company among the workers. And, you know, I think they know that there's a point where they're not going to be able to stop it. When it's a movement of the people, of the workers, where, you know, we're not controlled by the company. Once we're like, you know, we're building networks and we're building power, and we're getting to the point where we're not going to be afraid to publicly stand up, and they're not going to be able to stop it at that point. We're not going to be controlled by nonprofits. We're not going to be controlled by them. We, as workers, are going to take back control of our own lives and of our workplaces.
The grocery workers are strong and proud. See how our knives are worn. See how our backs are strong and how our hands are scuffed and torn. We stock your shelves with all the food that folks need to stay alive. Without our time and labor, half the middle class would die. Floors we mop, your shelves we stock, your customers we serve. Our bodies test their limits here for less than we deserve. And if you try to work us harder, we're going to kick your ass. For we will fight this war forever for each other and our class. The management is cutting corners, look how they pretend. They care about the workers while they speed up production. And if you cut our wages, we're going to kick your ass. For we will fight this war forever for each other and our class. Yeah, we will wage a battle for the rights that we have earned. And we will build our union so that everyone is heard. If you break our unity, we're going to kick your ass. For we will fight this war forever for each other and our class. And we will not be fooled by the AFL-CIO. Our union's not a union if we don't all share control. And if you try co-opting us, we're going to kick your ass. For we will fight this war forever for each other and our class. But when the boss is off, we slack all day and do our best to stall. We take our breaks for hours, but don't punch the clock at all. We talk amongst each other about how much we hate that boss. And we eat whatever we want and totally ignore the cost. The grocery workers are strong and proud. See how our knives are worn. See how how our backs are strong and how our hands are scuffed and torn. We're forming our own union, and this union's gonna last, 'cause we will fight this war forever for each other and our class.
Okay, so big question. Tell us about May Day, just in terms of what the workers are planning.
I'm asking the outside world, honestly, to lower, you know, lower ordering, just because you're also helping us out, where we're trying to protect our package. Package of like 5, 6, 7 people on top of each other, where it's more accessible. COVID can be passed around. So for me on the outside, I want customers to start limiting their orders online from Amazon. And for the workers inside, we expect more workers, not just probably from the United States, Staten Island, probably from Minnesota, Seattle, California, New Jersey. I'm expecting that these workers are going to have the same demands as are we having and walk out with the same message.
I know at Whole Foods, we actually have some pretty specific requests for the general public. I know as workers, we're going to be calling in sick. There are probably going to be people walking out. There are going to be demonstrations at several stores around the country. I think as workers, the majority of us are going to be calling in sick for that plausible deniability, because most of us are still, you know, don't feel like we're quite in a place where we have enough power to say, that's it, we're striking. We're pretty close, though, and I think they know that. But what we're asking of the public is, first of all, of course, please do not shop at Whole Foods on May 1st. But we're also asking you to call. We want people to call the stores. We want people to demand to speak to the general managers. Don't settle for whoever answers the phone not passing you on to the manager. Demand. They're called STLs. They're called ASTLs. And that's who you want to speak to, and you want to let them know that you are a long-time shopper at this store, and you're not coming in. You're standing with the workers, and you support their strike, you support their sick out, you support their demands for May 1st and for better working conditions. There's resources that we have you could find if you go to the Whole Worker Twitter, the other social media accounts, Facebook, Instagram. We have scripts, we have phone numbers of different levels of Whole Foods executives and store managers that you can call, particularly stores that have positive cases of COVID. There are over 100 different Whole Foods throughout the country with hundreds of different confirmed cases. Several Whole Foods workers have already died from COVID-19. So we're asking the public to please call Whole Foods and tell them that you stand with the striking workers and that you're not going to be shopping.
So with Instacart, we're asking shoppers not to work just for the one day. If most of these people are really dependent upon this income, and the option of stopping long term isn't really feasible. There actually still is an ongoing strike for Instacart. Because they didn't meet our demands back in March. And so many workers have continued to not work, some from principle and some from fear and requiring more in the way of safety. So we're hoping that Instacart shoppers will be able to plan around May Day and not work on that day. We're also asking customers not to order on that day to show support for our cause, and for our rights as people with families and people who love us. We're also asking customers to share articles. You can tag Apoorva on Twitter. You can share it in your mom group, in your community COVID support group. You can share not to order on this day, and also about the dubious history most of these companies have, particularly as it relates to worker safety, particularly as it relates to the time that we're in right now. Many shoppers can't continue to strike with us and have gone back to work. Those who are able to file for unemployment, we think that they should do that and they should choose safety if it's at all possible. our demands continue to be that we want PPE, hazard pay, and an expansion of the sick policy.
On CHIP's side, we are calling for the general public to boycott CHIP on May Day and also Target stores. We are in communications with Target Workers Unite, which is the employee-based union of Target, and they will be joining us on May 1st for a general walkout. We ask the general public to boycott both platforms, whether it be CHIP, the app, online ordering, or even in-store shopping. And we're also asking for them to contact, we're asking for customers to contact CHIP customer care. Let them know that you stand with workers, that they matter, our lives matter, and also for them to contact Target stores. Let the managers know that this type of atrocity and just plain blatant irresponsible actions by corporations like this, they don't have a place in our society anymore. And what other fantastic way to celebrate workers than for us all joining together like we have on this particular phone call, and voicing our collective voices in order to bring power back to where it belongs, which is the working people.
Well, we reached out to some other people that are organizing things like rent strikes and also that are going to be going out on May 1st and organizing different demonstrations. And they wanted to ask you all, beyond the great ideas for phone zaps, people also said, make less orders and make none at all. So basically boycott. What are some other ways? Like, would you like to see people picketing outside of these stores if possible? Should people, I know in some cities they're organizing like, essentially car parades or noise demonstrations. So people basically, instead of marching, they're in their cars. Like, should those parades go to Whole Foods and like Amazon warehouse facilities and show solidarity? Would that be one thing? Or what would you kind of like to see the public do in terms of action if possible?
So for Amazon, I actually talked to a few other people outside besides who you talked to. I actually had a lot of people start canceling their Amazon Prime account just to limit their purchasing, because they know that having Amazon Prime is a perk of getting items faster. So they cancel their Prime accounts. I wouldn't actually mind if they went by an Amazon warehouse and started protesting. It don't have to be a warehouse. You can get a group of people just to walk past an Amazon store. Also with Whole Foods and Instacart. I actually agree with that. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I'd also love to see any random Whole Foods. There's hundreds of them. They're all over the place. I'd love to see pickets outside. I'd love to see any physical presence outside, signs, bullhorns. You know, even two or three people can create a pretty big spectacle. And, the Whole Foods managers get pretty frazzled pretty easily a lot of times. So you could create problems just with, one or two friends even. But, I've always been a fan of direct action. I'd like to see people get creative. I'm not going to put any specific ideas out there, but, I can imagine who may or may not be listening. You might have some ideas. You might have been fantasizing about doing something to some horrible business at some point. Be creative. Do what you think is right.
So with Instacart, customers could certainly call stores and speak to the manager. They could email their concerns as well. Instacart also shops at Target, so that's like a twofer. In those emails or phone calls, they could question the company's treatment of shoppers and if these stores are co-signing the way that shoppers are being treated, and they could express an awareness of the lack of PPE that has been provided to us and wanting to ensure that the groceries they're receiving and the workers who are providing that service are being kept safe. Certainly delete the app. It's a hard situation right now because people need this kind of a service, and it would what would really be great is if the companies were behaving ethically and recognizing the sacrifices that we are making right now for their profit.
On ship side, I would echo a lot of what was said, that Robin said in regards to gig apps. One of the things I know that Target Workers Unite is calling for is for basically physical presentation of disruption, meaning that they're asking for people to drive through, honk, that kind of thing, in front of Target stores nationwide. And as far as shipped, we would definitely love to see a lot of phone calls to ship corporate to let them know that this kind of action that they've taken or the course of remedying the demands that have been met is just not going to be sufficient. Replacing workers is not going to be a way that these companies should handle things. And so, from ship's perspective, as far as the shoppers are concerned, we would really like for, people to let ship know to via Twitter, Facebook, email, phone calls, and even joining into the caravans at the local Targets.
I was just going to say another thing that customers can do is certainly, I don't know about the other companies, but Instacart has a public Facebook page where people could post their disappointment or their expectations right there in the public for Instacart to see. They can also rate the app. It might not sound like the most direct course of action, but it shows something. It's something that we can measure and we can see if customers and shoppers rate the app lower than it's currently rated.
More and more, it's like there's workers that get to kind of stay home, and then there's people that are kind of pushed to the front lines of this that are literally risking their lives just to continue to do the jobs that they were before. And I'm just curious, if things don't change, where do you see things going? Like, where do you see these corporations just wanting to take things if we don't fight back?
So with Amazon, we know they're going to continue retaliating. They're going to still continue saying they're doing everything they're doing, try to make us look bad on Amazon warehouse workers' point of view. Me and my team and the other warehouse workers we're in contact with, we're just going to keep fighting until, you know, we get our demands fulfilled and they listen to what we need to be done, what needs to be done to these workers.
You know, it's a really dangerous game that these corporations are playing. They will push and push and push limits to get every single cent, every drop of blood that they can, and they just continue to push. But there's a real fine line between them pushing the workers further and further down, and when it gets to the point where enough people have finally had enough, when we're sick and tired, we're literally sick, we're literally dying, we're literally exhausted because half of our workplace is out sick and we're overworked, we're underpaid, we're working in dangerous conditions, and they still keep pushing. There's a point where they've pushed people too far, and enough of us are going to have had enough at that point. And, you know, we're already seeing right now that this country is a fake first world nation. It's being exposed more and more every day. Nobody's got health care. Even a lot of us who do have health insurance, we kind of don't really. Deductibles and premiums, like, it's all kind of trash. And, you know, they keep pushing us. And every day, more and more of us are starting to push back. And they just keep pushing harder. And you know what? They're asking for it. And eventually, we're all going to push back. And, you know, it's just going to explode.
Leading off of that, I think that a lot of us, you know, gig workers and grocery store workers, haven't really been afforded much respect by society up until now. It's, you know, that's for when you're in high school. It certainly isn't a career to be a cashier at the grocery store. And even within our own ranks, people will say it's gig work. It's not, you know, if you get a full-time job, if you want consistent pay or rights or healthcare. And And so times are changing and people are having to recognize how essential the services that we provide are. And I think now is our time. Now is our chance to really organize together and demand, fair treatment. And that's not to say that we should be paid more than some other professions that are also incredibly important right now. Maybe those other professions should also be paid more. But I think the goal here is to make sure that the work that we're doing is respected and compensated appropriately. I think if we allow these companies to just keep going unchecked, that it's only going to get worse and worse for us, because they've demonstrated pay cut after pay cut, year after year, that they don't have our best interests at heart. And, you know, the way that we were getting paid initially when things first started probably was never really sustainable. And certainly as these companies have grown and are considering going public, if they haven't already, there's an interest to look profitable and to get shareholders. And I think all of those things play a part. They care so little that instead of providing their experienced shoppers with the equipment we need to be safe, they'll hire more and provide us with the bare minimum to be able to continue access to stores. And as we get sick and more grocery workers get sick, they just have the workforce to replace us. And I guess that's determined to be the better course for them. So we're fighting back now, and we're really hoping that the customers are going to support us as they have been. This is about our health and our well-being and our families. And I just want to make sure that I have the chance to thank you for having me be a part of this call, for having all of us here together to shine an even bigger light on what's going on here.
On Shift side, I'd like to close out with saying that at the end of the day, we have fundamentally changed the foundation of the landscape in regards to these companies. I mean, as you can tell, you have a lot of strong voices on this phone call that are actually speaking out and voicing very substantive information in regards to their particular issues. I will say that when I first became a Shift shopper, I never envisioned being in this role or in this capacity in regards to being the voice for so many. From that perspective, it's very important that the general public hear the collective voices that have formulated around this particular event, May Day, and understand that there's so much strength behind it. There's so much passion, because at the end of the day, lives really do matter. The working person's life really does matter. And that has gone to the wayside as the economy has grown and companies have grown stronger and stronger and stronger. But no more. You know, some of the things that I genuinely say every single day is enough is enough. And I've heard that on this phone call a couple times now. And so that power that we are taking back speaks volumes, and I think these companies have a lot of reckoning to do or to pay for after the fact. And so as we move forth past the COVID experience, I don't think that it's going to be as easy for these companies to shut us down as like as they have before. They're going to have a tough time controlling the voices that speak out. And these voices are absolutely necessary in order to combat some of the unjust practices that these companies are taking towards their workforce.
To close this out, anything you want to say to anybody listening? And also, if you can, if there was one place that you would direct people on social media to go to get updates about the work that you're doing or your group is doing at your workplace, where would it be for May Day?
Twitter. You could at me, message me, NLMBJAYY23. That's really it.
For Instacart, I would say that you could also go on Twitter. Facebook has a bunch of Instacart groups. The National Instacart group is where most of the protest information is shared. Instacart shoppers also publish to Medium, and a lot of information can be found there. And we're also supported by the Gig Workers Collective, and they have a website and a Facebook page that will also be sharing information.
Yeah, for Whole Worker, right now I'd say go to the Twitter or the other social media. There is a proper website that is very close to being launched. It'll be posted on all the social media. I'd say Twitter's probably the best spot for right now. I just want to acknowledge real quick, if I can, that, you know, we're four separate companies on this call right here. We're four separate movements that have all kind of converged. And I know there's others out there, you know, retail workers, grocery workers, warehouse workers, like, who are organizing. Like, you know, I just want to open invite people to contact us, you know, like, you know, the whole worker social medias are easy to find. I know Jordan and Chris are easy to find. Shipt and Instacart, everything is out there. Like, hit us up. Like, you know, some of us just linked up, like, real recently. You know, hit one of us up. Like, the more of these movements that come together and work together towards a common goal, the stronger we'll be.
For Shipt, you can look us up on Twitter. Shipt Shopper is one of our main Twitter handles. On Medium Post, we're also going to be posting updates under the Shipt Shopper handle. We're going to try and publish as much as we possibly can on Facebook. Most of our groups are closed for shoppers only, but so Twitter's going to be the best way to get updates from Shipt.
This has been the It's Going Down podcast. Check itsgoingdown.org for daily updates, columns, action reports, and news. Go to itsgoingdown.org/shop to support us and follow us on all social media platforms. IGD, your daily resource for insurgent proletarian life.